Fourth Conversation. Brother Lawrence spoke with great openness of heart concerning his manner of going to God, whereof some part is related already. He told me that all consists in one hearty renunciation of everything which we are sensible does not lead us to God. We might accustom ourselves to a continual conversation with him, with freedom and in simplicity. We need only to recognize God intimately present with us and address ourselves to him every moment. We need to beg his assistance for knowing his will in things doubtful and for rightly performing those which we plainly see he requires of us, offering them to him before we do them and giving thanks when we have completed them. In our conversation with God, we should also engage in praising, adoring, and loving him incessantly for his infinite goodness and perfection. Without being discouraged on account of our sins, we should pray for his grace with a perfect confidence, as relying upon the infinite merits of our Lord. Brother Lawrence said that God never failed offering us his grace at each action. It never failed, except when Brother Lawrence's thoughts had wandered from a sense of God's presence, or he forgot to ask his assistance. He said that God always gave us light in our doubts when we had no other design but to please him. Our sanctification did not depend upon changing our works. Instead, it depended on doing that for God's sake, which we commonly do for our own. He thought it was lamentable to see how many people mistook the means for the end, addicting themselves to certain works which they performed very imperfectly by reason of their human or selfish regards. The most excellent method he had found for going to God was that of doing our common business without any view of pleasing men, but purely for the love of God. Brother Lawrence felt it was a great delusion to think that the times of prayer ought to differ from other times. We are as strictly obliged to adhere to God by action in the time of action as by prayer in its season. His own prayer was nothing else but a sense of the presence of God, his soul being at that time insensible to everything but divine love. When the appointed times of prayer were past, he found no difference, because he still continued with God, praising and blessing him with all his might. Thus he passed his life in continual joy. Yet he hoped that God would give him somewhat to suffer when he grew stronger. Brother Lawrence said we ought once and for all heartily put our whole trust in God and make a total surrender of ourselves to him, secure that he would not deceive us. We ought not weary of doing little things for the love of God, who regards not the greatness of the work, but the love with which it is performed. We should not wonder if, in the beginning, we often failed in our endeavors, but that, at last, we should gain a habit which will naturally produce its acts in us without our care, and to our exceeding great delight. The whole substance of religion was faith, hope, and charity. In the practice of these, we become united to the will of God. Everything else is indifferent, and to be used as a means that we may arrive at our end and then be swallowed up by faith and charity. All things are possible to him who believes. They are less difficult to him who hopes. They are more easy to him who loves, and still more easy to him who perseveres in the practice of these three virtues. The end we ought to propose to ourselves is to become, in this life, the most perfect worshipers of God we can possibly be, and as we hope to be through all eternity. We must, from time to time, honestly consider and thoroughly examine ourselves. We will then realize that we are worthy of great contempt. Brother Lawrence noted that when we directly confront ourselves in this manner, we will understand why we are subject to all kinds of misery and problems. We will realize why we are subject to changes and fluctuations in our health, mental outlook, and dispositions. And we will, indeed, recognize that we deserve all the pain and labors God sends to humble us. After this, we should not wonder that troubles, temptations, oppositions, and contradictions happen to us from men. We ought, on the contrary, to submit ourselves to them and bear them as long as God pleases, as things highly advantageous to us. The greater perfection a soul aspires after, the more dependent it is upon divine grace. Being questioned by one of his own community, to whom he was obliged to open himself, by what means he had attained such an habitual sense of God, Brother Lawrence told him that, since his first coming to the monastery, he had considered God as the end of all his thoughts and desires, as the mark to which he should tend, and in which they should terminate. He noted that in the beginning of his novitiate, he spent the hours appointed for private prayer in thinking of God, so as to convince his mind and impress deeply upon his heart the divine existence. He did this by devout sentiments and submissions to the lights of faith, rather than by studied reasonings and elaborate meditations. By this short and sure method, he exercised himself in the knowledge and love of God, resolving to use his utmost endeavor to live in a continual sense of his presence, and, if possible, never to forget him more. When he had thus, in prayer, filled his mind with great sentiments of that infinite being, he went to his work, appointed in the kitchen, for he was then cook for the community. There, having first considered severally the things his office required, and when how each thing was to be done, he spent all the intervals of his time, both before and after his work, in prayer. When he began his business, he said to God, with a filial trust in him, "O my God, since thou art with me, and I must now, in obedience to thy commands, apply my mind to these outward things, I beseech thee to grant me the grace to continue in thy presence. And to this end, do thou prosper me with thy assistance, receive all my works, and possess all my affections." As he proceeded in his work, he continued his familiar conversation with his Maker, imploring his grace and offering to him all his actions. When he had finished, he examined himself how he had discharged his duty. If he found well, he returned thanks to God. If otherwise, he asked pardon, and, without being discouraged, he set his mind right again. He then continued his exercise of the presence of God, as if he had never deviated from it. "Thus," said he, "by rising after my falls, and by frequently renewed acts of faith and love, I am come to a state wherein it would be as difficult for me not to think of God as it was at first to accustom myself to it." As Brother Lawrence had found such an advantage in walking in the presence of God, it was natural for him to recommend it earnestly to others. More strikingly, his example was a stronger inducement than any arguments he could propose. His very countenance was edifying, with such a sweet and calm devotion, appearing that he could not but affect the beholders. It was observed that, in the greatest hurry of business in the kitchen, he still persevered his recollection and heavenly mindedness. He was never hasty nor loitering, but did each thing in its season with an even, uninterrupted composure of tranquility of spirit. "The time of business," said he, "does not with me differ from the time of prayer. In the noise and clutter of my kitchen, while several persons are at the same time calling for different things, I possess God in as great tranquility as if I were upon my knees at the Blessed Supper."